Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara is now continuing to darshan the Mishnah, which has certain things that can't happen one after the other. The last thing we dealt with was Ein Beit HaPras, who said Beit HaPras. The next thing the Mishnah says is Ein Truma Achar Truma. You can't take off Truma one after the next. Matnitin Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Like the Gemara has done in each one of these cases, Gemara's try to identify which Tana or which position in the Tanaim is being rendered by the Mishnah. Sometimes it tells us who the Tana is. Sometimes it tells us who the Tana is definitely not. Generally, it will do that when it knows the Tana or the name of the Tana. It'll either tell us that this is that Tana or it's not that Tana, as opposed to where it's the Chachamim, where they will not say that it is the Chachamim. They'll say it's not the other Tana that argues on the Chachamim. And over here, the Gemara says, Matnit and Mani, it's Rabbi Akiva, Titznan. It's very unlikely that it should be the Tanan here. It probably should be the Tanya, because there is a Mishnah in Trumot, and the Mishnah in Trumot does not say what our Gemara says over here. And that is a Shutafim. If you have partners, Shutarmu Zeachar Zeh, that one of them took off Truma, and then the other one took off Truma after him. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Trumat Shnehem Truma. Eliezer says that the Truma, both of them, is classified as Truma. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Trumat Shnehem Truma. Neither of their Trumot are any good. V'chachamim omrim, and we have a middle position of the chachamim, im tarama rishon kishi'ur, if the first one did it properly, ein trumat hasheni truma, then the second one's truma is not valid, v'im lo taram kishi'ur, trumat hasheni truma, and if he did not do it properly, then the second one's truma is truma. So that's the braita that we're quoting over here. You can see in Tosafot it's a braita, not a mishnah, and I'll quote you the mishnah in a minute to show you that the problem that arises with the mishnah. But over here we have three opinions as to what happens. Rabbi Eliezer says that Trumat Shnehem Truma, that both of their Trumot are good Trumot. Now, that's very hard to say that both Trumot are good Trumot, because you can't take off Truma Achar Truma, which is, according to everyone, if you take off Truma from something that's Tevel, you can't go back again and then take off Truma again. It's no longer Tevel once the Truma was removed from it. So how do you have it here that the Truma of both of them is successful? So, as Rashi says over here, Sharej Mishnehem Chilek Bo, they both have a part in this partnership. They're 50-50 partners. As the Baal Tosafot say over here, then what does it mean that Shnehem are successful? That each one of their Trumot will be Miktsat successful and Miktsat Lo successful, which means if you have 100 Sa'ah over here that need Truma taken off of them, they each own 50% of that. They each own 50 Sa'ah. So each one of them goes to take off 2 Sa'ah. Tusai is the 2%, the standard rate of Truma they would take off from the 100. So they would take 2 out of 100 off. So both of them did that. But neither of them are totally successful because the other party didn't want the partner to do it on his behalf. And that's demonstrated by the fact that the second one went to do it even though the first one did it, or the first one did it even though the second one was going to do it. So then each one of them is successful at taking off their own Truma, which means now that each one of them, their Tusai, one sa'ah of it is truma, that's on their 50%. The other sa'ah is chulin. Or basically they have a now dimua. They have a mixture of one sa'ah of chulin, one sa'ah of truma. They'll have to sell it to the kohen for the price of one sa'ah of chulin. Obviously it'll be a little cheaper because it's dimua. And the rest will be the truma that they give to the kohen. And that's what means shnehem are truma, is that they're both successful at taking off the truma that's relevant to their ownership in the partnership. And the remainder that they take off is unsuccessful at creating Truma, that remains Chulin. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva's position is, Ein Truma Shnehem Truma. Neither of them are successful. Rashi claims neither of them is successful means, Afilu Shel Rishon. Not only is the second one unsuccessful, which seems obvious because he did it after the first one already taken off, but also the first one is not successful. And the reason being, as Rashi explains over here, is that when the second one goes and takes off Truma after the first one did, he's galiadate. He's making it clear that he doesn't want the other party to act on his behalf. Because the fact that he went to do it himself shows you that he did not want the other party to do it. And vice versa. The first party who took off shows that he has no interest in the other party taking off on his behalf. And therefore, both of them are toreim shalomidat. They're taking off the truma without the permission of the other party. And since both of them are acting without permission over here, neither of them is successful at taking off the Truma. Not on their portion, not on the other portion. They were doing it as a joint effort, meaning that they were taking it off on the entirety of what was here. and it fails. So it doesn't just fail in part, it fails entirely. And Rabbi Akiva says that the Truma Shel Shneihem is no good. And Rabbi Akiva will be the author of our Mishnah, who says, Ein Truma Achar Truma, irrespective of what happens. Doesn't really matter how or what happened here. According to Rabbi Akiva, and neither of them have Truma that's taken off, there is no Truma here, Ein Truma Achar Truma. Now you have the middle position, which is the Chachamim's position, which is that if you took off, the first one took off Kishi'ur, he took off what would be standard rates of Truma. Rashi claims the standard rate is 1 mi 50, is 2%. The other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom says that the standard rate means if he took off 1/50th, 1/40th, or 1/60th, any one of the three areas that the Chachamim gave guidance for, which is Benoni is 1/50th, a person who is more generous is 1/40th, and a person who is a little more miserly gives 1/60th. So he calls all of those standard Shi'urim. So in the case where he took off Ki Shi'ur, he took off the standard rate, Ein Truma Sheni Truma, then whatever the second one did is negated. That is, if the first one, according to Rashi, followed the normal protocol of the Chachamim, which is 1/50th to take off 2%, since he used a standardized rate to take it off, then whatever the second one does afterwards is meaningless, because the first one did what most normal people would do in this case, and therefore we considered his Truma that he took off to be the successful removal of Truma on behalf of both of the parties. On the other hand, if he did not take it off, kishior, which means that he didn't take it off at that 1/50th rate, according to Rashi, he took off 1/40th, 1/60th, some other rate, then Trumata Sheni Truma, the second one's Truma is Truma, or in essence, it'll be the same halacha that we saw from Rabbi Eliezer above, that Shnehem Truma. Not that both of them are Truma, but each one of them will be taking off Truma for their portion, because the first one failed to act in a proper manner and carry out his fiduciary duty to the partnership by doing the standard amount of 2%, and he deviated from that. That already makes it that he's only acting on his own behalf, not on the other party's behalf, and that's why the second one's Truma is now Truma, at least on his portion of that which is a part of the partnership. Now, that's the explanation Rashi gives. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, says that Kishur means 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. As long as he abided by the standard rates that the Chachamim gave, and it doesn't matter if he used 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, those are all assumed to be his carrying out his fiduciary duty to the partnership, because those are considered to be normal rates that people would take up. They're all acceptable amounts that normal people would do in these situations, and therefore the second one's Truma is not meaningful because he acted on behalf of the whole partnership. On the other hand, if he deviates from any one of those three standard rates, then already he's outside of the realm of acting as a fiduciary for the partnership. Therefore, he's only being mafrish for himself. When the second party goes to be mafrish, he's doing it for himself as well. And therefore, each one of them then will be taking off Truma for whatever is theirs. And the excess amount they took off now becomes chulin, because they can only act on behalf of themselves, not on behalf of the partnership. That's the view of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Bar Tanura in the Mishnah in Trumot brings another meaning to the word kishiur, that kishiur means that if he took off a certain amount, that was mimicked by the other party, which is, im taram arishon kishiur, if the first one took off the same amount that the second one ends up taking off, then the second one's truma is not truma, because the second one basically gave his stamp of approval to the first one. When he took off the exact same amount, that means that he really was okay with what the first one did, and therefore the first one's action is efficacious, and his action is meaningless. On the other hand, im lo taram kishiur, if the first one took off a different amount than the second one took off, that shows you that whatever the second one took off was in disagreement or contradiction to the first one, and he doesn't approve for what the first one did. If he doesn't approve what he did, then each one of them is acting on their own behalf. If that's the case, then both of theirs is a truma for at least their portion of the partnership. That's an alternate view by the Bar Tanura over there, although he favors the interpretation brought by Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom over here. And then Rashi concludes in the end, Ula Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ben Kach or Ben Kach, Lovi Truma. Doesn't matter how it came about, neither of them are Truma, because Rabbi Akiva says that when you do something that the first one did, even if it's the exact same thing, it's an indication that you were not happy with what the first individual did. And therefore, neither party's Truma over here is successful. And Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah, Matnita Nami Stama Kamar. Our Mishnah says, Ain't Truma Char Truma, doesn't qualify it at all. And that's like Rabbi Akiva. That's the view of Rashi over here. Now, the Bali of Tosafot bring Rashi's interpretation down, and they say Velo Nehira. They think that Rashi's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva's position is very difficult. they agree with regards to Rabbi Eliezer. We already saw that before, that they say that it's the same thing, that both of them take off Truma means that their portion of the Truma, they're successful at taking off. But with regards to Rabbi Akiva, they are bothered by Rashi's explanation because of the structure of the Mishnah. You have in the Mishnah, we'll just give an example of the next thing we're going to speak about, which is Ein Tmura Oseh Tmura. That one Tmura is unable to make another Tmura. Hekdesh can make something Tmura, but that first Tmura can't make a second Tmura. In that instance, the first Tmura was successful and was Kodesh. It was only the second Tmura that is not Kodesh. It's the first item is successful, the second item is unsuccessful. Yesterday we spoke about Ein Beit HaPras Oseh Beit HaPras. That doesn't mean that neither Beit HaPras was successful. It means the first Beit HaPras was a Beit HaPras. That which extended off of it, or that came, that was a derivative of it, is not a Beit HaPras. So if you take that parable structure over here in Truma, that would imply that when you say Ein Truma, Achar Truma, that means that the first Truma was good, and the second Truma was no good. Now if you're telling me Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah, then it can't be what Rashi says. Rashi is saying that Rabbi Akiva says neither of them is good. But rather, it must be that Rabbi Akiva's position is that the first person's Truma is good, it is the second person's Truma that is not good. And Rabbi Akiva says, Ain't Truma Shnehem Truma, both of them are not successful, but the first one is successful. That's why you have to read it according to the Baal HaTosafot. And that's how Tosafot understands it. The first one was successful, the second one was unsuccessful because he tried to do something that the first one had already done. The first one was completed, and the second one's not completed. Now we have to, the question is, why should it be that the first one is successful and the second one is not successful? If, like Rashi says, when the second one goes to take it off, it's as if he's indicating that the first one did something wrong or he wasn't happy with it, then it should undermine the first one's ability to do it as well. That's number one. And number two is, why is the second one's problematic? Because if he doing it does not undermine the first one's, then why does the first one undermine him? What's going on over here that makes that happen? So what the Baal HaTosafot point out, and I'm going to read you now the Mishnah from Trumot and Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, and in that Mishnah, it turns out that it's not what it says in our Gemara. That's why the Baal HaTosafot changed it from Ditnan to Titania. So the Mishnah says there, Hashutafim Shetarmu Zechazeh, same start as the Braita, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Trumat Shnehem Truma. Both of theirs, Truma, is successful. Basically, Rabbi Akiva says what Rabbi Eliezer says in our Gemara here, that's what Rabbi Akiva says there. Vechachamim Omrim, Trumata Rishon Truma. And the Chamim say that the first one's Truma is Truma, equivalent, according to the Tosafot, as to what Rabbi Akiva says in our Gemara. So then you have Rabbi Yossi, who brings afterwards and says, Im Tarama Rishon Kishior, Ein Trumata Sheni Truma, V'ilom Tarama Rishon Kishior, Trumata Sheni Truma. So that's the Mishnah in Trumot. The big problem now is, how do you reconcile this? Because now you have a stira in Rabbi Akiva. In the Mishnah, he's telling you Shnehem Truma. In our Mishnah, he's saying Ein Shnehem Truma. How do you reconcile that? So Tosafot, in reconciling between those two, basically solves the puzzle as to the question we just asked before. Why should it be that the Rishon's Truma is successful and the second one's is not successful? It says, V'nira l'ri, the Shmaitin Mairi. Our case in the Gemara over here is Kishanatno Rishut Zelezeh. They permitted each other to act, or basically they gave a power of attorney to each other to act on behalf of the other party, Litrom, in order to do the Truma. Oshum Hachei Trumata Rishon Truma, the Rabbi Akiva. Now that explains Rabbi Akiva over here, who says that the first one is successful, the second one is unsuccessful. They empowered each other. So once you empower each other, it's the equivalent of the same person taking off Truma from the same produce twice. Because they took it off the first time, you were successful. When the second one comes to do it, he's unsuccessful because Truma was already taken off, and you can't take off Truma a second time. And the first party had permission from the second party to do it. That's why the first party is successful. That's why the second party is unsuccessful. And that's the explanation of our Breita over here, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva over here, why the Rishon is successful, the Sheni is unsuccessful. Of Al Hatam, the Mishnah in Trumot is in a case where they didn't give permission to each other. Neither of them gave permission to the other party. And therefore, Hilkach Kol Chada Date Denafshei Taram. Then, in that case, each one's acting on their own volition, and they're acting on behalf of themselves, supposedly on behalf of the other party as well, but they don't have permission to do that. Therefore, fikach trumat shnehem trumat mimiksat. Therefore, it will be the position of what we see in Rabbi Eliezer over here, shnehem truma. Like Rabbi Akiva says, shnehem truma means that both of them, their portion of what is theirs in the partnership, that part of their truma will be successful, the other part of the truma will be unsuccessful, and that's because each one of them indicated they were not interested in the other party acting on their behalf. And therefore, each one is only successful at doing the Truma for their portion, not for the other party's portion. Now, once you say that, then you have to explain over here Rabbi Eliezer's position when he says Trumat Shnehem Truma. That means that Rabbi Eliezer believes, even in the face of permission, even if they both give each other permission to act on the other one's behalf, they give them a power of attorney, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says, if the second one goes ahead and takes off Truma, that's an indication that he basically retracted his power of attorney. He's basically reneging on that empowerment, and therefore he's saying, I'm not interested in what he did, even though I said I was, now I'm not anymore. And the fact that he acted against that power of attorney shows you that he's not interested, and therefore, even in the face of permission, still have it be that they're only successful at taking a truma of their portion of what they own in the shuta food. That's Tosafot's explanation of how this fits in. Tosafot also solves the problem as to why there's a stira between the Braita here and the Mishnah in Trumot, and therefore he explains Rabbi Akiva's position as being that a truma shnehem is not truma, means the second one's not truma, but the first one is truma. Ain't tmura oset tmura, my taima. What's the reason? Amarkra utmurato. It says, Vayahu utmurato yakodesh, velo tmurat tmurato. Not making tmura from the tmura. So over here you have hekdesh, the original hekdesh. That is imbued with kedusha, kedushat peh. That has the power then to convey that kedusha to a second animal, which will be the tmura. That's Vayahu utmurato yakodesh. That animal now that's imbued with kedusha was never nitkadesh in of itself. Its kedusha is a derivative of the original hekdesh. And that doesn't have the power then to make something else into tmura, because it's hu utmurato yakodesh, not tmurat tmurato. That does not have the capacity to pass on the tmura. Vein avlad oset tmura. This is the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in that Mishnah. The Chachamim believe that vlad kodoshim does not have the capacity to make tmura. Damakra, hu, velo havlad. It means it. The item that you were makdish has the capacity to create tmura, but not the vlad, not the offspring of that animal. Again, that's a derivative kedusha. It's not kedusha that you imbued in the animal. It's kedusha that you created on the mother, and then that then devolved upon the fetus that was inside, but that happened passively. That wasn't something that you created. It was something that happened because of the mother, and that makes it into a derivative kedusha. Since it's a derivative kedusha, it will not pass that kedusha on in the form of tmura. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avlad oset tmura. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and says Avlad can't do that. Damar kra, yeah, the rabot et Avlad. He says that there's a riboy in the pasuk. It says, Vayahu tmurato, yeah, kodesh. Yeah, is a riboy to tell you that the Avlad kodoshim is able to create tmura. That's what the riboy includes. Verabonon. So what do the rabbanon do with the yeah, which is a riboy? There are both shogeg kemezid. That's coming to teach you that in tmura, the shogeg has the same din as mezid, which is not true in hakdasha. We have a principle, we pass on like Beit Hillel, that hekdesh b'taot lo shmei hekdesh. You make something into hekdesh by mistake, it's unsuccessful. You aren't able to make it hekdesh by mistake. So that is the true by hekdesh. Tmura has a riboy to tell you that even when you do it unintentionally, even if you do it by mistake, it still is successful at creating the tmura. And the example the Gemara will bring later on in the Masechta is, if the individual wanted to, for instance, be makdish an animal, and he says that the first black animal that comes out of my house will be hekdesh, and out walks a white animal. So over there, it's not hekdesh, because the first animal that walked out was white and not black. And so it did not fulfill what he had said or what he had intended, and therefore the hekdesh does not devolve upon that animal. In tmura, if you make that mistake, it will be successful, which is that if you intended that too be memir onto a black animal, and it turned out to be a white animal, it will happen anyway. The tmura will be successful, and that's what the yeh is, to reboy of shogei kemezid, and not to include a vlad kodoshim. All right, next Mishnah, ha'ofot v'menachot enosim tmura. Birds and menachot and the flower offerings, they do not have a din of tmura. Shino nemar ela behema, because it doesn't say behema, or ela bivema. Depends. The pasuk says it twice. The pasuk in pasuk tet says ve'im ve'ema asher kivu menu korban Hashem. That's the first time that it mentions ve'ema, and later on it says ve'ema mer yamir. In the next pasuk ve'ema bi'ema vayehu tmurato yakodesh. So the word ve'ema appears twice, and it seems to be specifying that the tmura is only a relevant issue with regards to behemot. It's not relevant by ofot and menachot. Hatzibur vashutafim enosim tmura. The tzibur, something that's owned by corporate klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is an entity, and Shutafim, partners in a Korban, they cannot create Tmura, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yachlifenu Velo Yamir Oto, and the Drush, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, is that that is Belashon Yachid. It's not in Lashon Rabim, it's in Lashon Yachid. Since it's in Lashon Yachid, it implies that only singular ownership can create Tmura, not where you have multiple owners associated with it. Now, the possibility by Shutafin is that you could have that possibility to happen, which is that if all the Shutafim gave permission to one individual to do it on their behalf, then you could have someone acting on their behalf. By the corporate entity Klal Yisrael, it's much harder to envision a situation in which someone could act on behalf of the Tzibur to create the Tmura. And that's why it's questionable as to why you need to actually exclude the Tzibur, because it would seem obvious that there's nobody who can act on behalf of the Tzibur that could create the Tmura, because you'd need permission from the whole Tzibur, and you can never get permission from the whole Tzibur. And if you're being Meimir, your portion of the Korban Tzibur, then you're being Meimir Be'evarim, which we said before doesn't work. So there are creative ways of trying to figure out how somebody could act on behalf of the Tzibur, or how it would work exactly, but it's more important to exclude a Shutafut over here than it is to exclude a Tzibur, because in all likelihood, the Tzibur is not a very likely or plausible situation where you can create Tmura. Koche Berek Abayit, we'll read it now based on the first Lishna of Rashi. Later on in the Gemara, we'll see that it's a different Lashon in Rashi that changes the meaning of this over here. Koche Berek Abayit, Inosim Tmura. Koche Berek Abayit, don't have a din of Tmura. Over here, there's no reason given as to why that is. In all likelihood, it's because the Pasuk says, that it has to be a korban, and kochei berek abayit are not a korban, and therefore kochei berek abayit are excluded from the world of tmura. That's likely the explanation here of the line in the Mishnah. And then Amar Rabbi Shimon comes along to argue on the source text for all of these items that we mentioned before, which is halo maser bichlal haya. Maser behema was included in all other behemot, meaning that the psukim over here that speak about Tmura, same in Beimash, your people men of Korban Lashem, Koshi Temmino Lashem Yakodesh, and then, Lo Yachli Fenable Miro Tov, Tov Barao Rabbi Tov, Mer Yamir Beimah, Beimah, Utmura Tov Yakodesh, is generically speaking about all Kodashim, any Korban. Yet, at the end of Per Chav Zayin, when it speaks about Meiser Beimah, over there it says, Bechoma Sarba Karbetzon, Koshi Yabor Tachat Ashavet, Asiri Yakodesh Lashem, and then, Lo Yvaker Ben Tov the Ra, V'lo yimirenu, v'yamamer yimirenu, v'yu tumurato yakodesh lo yigael. Why are you repeating this issue of tumura b'maiser beima? And so Rabbi Shimon explains, halo maser bichlal haya, it was included in all other kodoshim. V'lama yatzta, why did it then leave the klal and have it be specified specifically over there about tumura? Lomar lecha, ma maser korban yachid, just like maser is a korban yachid, shutafim, don't bring maser beima. There's only a maser beima when you're a single owner, not when you are a joint owner with another party. And obviously, the animals of the Tzibur do not have a din of Maiser Behema. So Yatsu, Korbanot HaTzibur, and Korbanot HaShutafim, from the fact that Maiser Behema is a Korban Yachid. Ma Maser, Korban Mizbeach. Just like the Maser is something that's brought on the Mizbeach, it is a Kodesh, B'Kedushat HaGuf, Kedushat HaMizbeach. That has Tmura, Yatsu, Korbanot Berek HaBayit, that don't have that. Or in essence, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, but the source for the fact that Shutafim, Tzibur, and Kochei Berek Abayit do not apply by Tmura, before we brought it because it was B'Lashon Yachid, and because the word Korban means Korban HaMizbeach and not Korban Berek Abayit, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and says that the source for all of this is from Maaser Behema, based on the principle of Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Dvar Sheya Bichlal, Yenatzah Min HaKlal Lamed, Lo Lamed Atzmo Yatzah, when you have something that was part of the general principle, it would have been included in the din, and then it was yotzei, and it was specified about that din. It doesn't just teach about itself, it teaches you about the klal kulo, about the principle in general. And so over here, Maaser Behema now becomes this paradigmatic type of tmura that teaches us what the qualifications are for tmura. And just like Maaser Behema is only a korban yachid, and is only a korban mizbeach, so too, Tmura will have both of those requirements in order to create Tmura. If you fail on either one of those, whether you're a Korban HaTzibur, Korban Shutafim, or a Korban Berek HaBayit, you will not create Tmura, and that's the source that Rabbi Shimon brings. Now, there is an alternate Lishna, which we'll get to later in the Gemara, that Rashi points out, that the last line of the Mishnah over here, before we said Rabbi Shimon, is actually Rabbi Shimon. It says, Kodshei Berek HaBayit Enosim Tmura. Kodshei Berek HaBayit don't create Tmura. The Mishnah never tells you why that is. I told you because of the word Korban, because that's what Rabbi says in the Gemara. But that doesn't necessarily have to be true. It could be that that's the preface to Rabbi Shimon's statement, which is, Kodshei Berek HaBayit Enosim Tmura. Amar Rabbi Shimon, I'll tell you why Kodshei Berek HaBayit don't have Tmura. That's because of Maaser Behemah. And then in addition to that, it also teaches you that there's no din of Korban HaTzibur at Shutafim by Tmura. But in that way, the whole latter half of the Mishnah would be Rabbi Shimon not having an opinion of the Tanna Kamma and then Rabbi Shimon. So I'm just pointing it out to you because it'll become more relevant later on when the Gemara gives a different answer about a stira between a Braita and our Mishnah. Now the truth is that the Sfat Emet raises a very interesting issue over here, which is the fact that maybe you do need Tmura by Maaser Behemah. The whole premise of Rabbi Shimon's position is that it's extraneous to mention Tmura by Maaser Behemah. But maybe that's not the case. Because by Maaser Behemah, it's different than regular Hakdasha. By regular Hakdasha, you are Makdish Bepeh, the animal. Since you're Makdish the animal Bepeh, that Hekdesh Rishon then has the capacity to create derivative Hekdesh of Tmura. On the other hand, by Maaser Behemah, that's not the case. The Maaser Behemah has the Kedusha devolve passively on the animal. The tenth one that goes out is automatically kadosh. And so maybe over there it does not have the capacity to create tmura. It'll be like hekdesh that creates tmura. That tmura can't create another tmura because it was a derivative kedusha. And so maybe something like that over here you would say with regards to Maaser Behemah that it's considered to be a passive type of kedusha that cannot be extended through tmura. And maybe that's why the Torah had to tell you that you need tmura by Maaser Behemah. That's the question of the Sfat Emet. In the end, he says that you must acknowledge, or what you have to say is, that even the Kedusha of Maaser Behemah doesn't happen by itself. It does happen that the tenth one that exits is automatically Kadosh, but that only happens because you line them up, you brought them into the corral, and you take them out of the corral to get to number 10. So there is active involvement of the individual in the Hakdasha. It may not be a Hakdasha Bepeh, but it's still your effort that makes it that this Hakdasha happens to the tenth animal. And therefore, it would not be so differentiated to the point that we would say that maybe the din here should be different. And that's why Rabbi Shimon asks over here, what do you need tmura for by Maaser Behemah? Tanabanan. Yocho yuhu kochei berek habayit usim tmura. You would think that kochei berek habayit have the capacity to make tmura. Talmud Omar, korban. Mi shenikru'u korban. Etzu kochei berek habayit shelo nikru'u korban. Pretty straightforward. The pasuk says korban. Korban la'ashem. That's a korban on the mizbeach. That's not kodshei berek habayit. And therefore, tmura is limited to kodshei mizbeach. Mar says, velo. That's an interesting braita. Vehatanya. Don't we have a braita, which we quoted earlier on daf vavam and bet? E korban. If it was a korban, shomei ani afilu kodshei berek habayit. I would think that included in that is even kodshei berek habayit. The reference over here, like it was back on Vavam Ibed, is with regards to shchutei chutz, bringing a korban outside of the mikdash. It says, "Vel petachol moed lo viola kriv korban l'Hashem lifnei mishkan Hashem dam yechashev leishahu dam shafach v'nirchat eishahu mikerev amo." And that is because we want them to bring their korbanot to Hashem into the petach ol moed. And now the Gemara says, "Well, korbanot." You would think that korban means even kodshei berek habayit. Shit nikru'u korban. Because kodshei berek habayit are also called korban. Kenyan shin ne'amar. Like the pasuk says in Parshat Matot, which is this week's parsha in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael was last week's parsha. And over there it says, after they come back from the battle with Midian, the generals of the army say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'emru ha-Moshe avadecha nasud rosh anshei ha-melchama." We took a census account of the troops. We're not missing any soldiers. Everybody came back from the battle. Vana crave et korban Hashem isha asher matzak li zahav et zadav et zamir et tabat agil b'chumaz l'chaper al nafshetenu l'fnei Hashem. Therefore, we want to make the following donation to Hashem. And it says, korban Hashem. So you see that kodshei berek habayit or korban Hashem, because it's talking about kli zahav et zadav et zamir et tabat agil. These are clearly not things that go on the mizbeach. So the braita back on Vavam Bet says, well, you would have thought by Shkutei Chutz, that Shkutei Chutz is not only relevant by Kodshei Mizbeach, it's also relevant by Kodshei Berek HaBayit, because we find the word Korban is used to describe Kodshei Berek HaBayit as well in Parshat Matot, because it says, "Menakrev Korban Hashem." Talmud Lomar, the pasuk by Shkutei Chutz says, "Vel petach ol moed lo hevio lakrev Korban Hashem." Ko abay ol petach ol moed chayvin alav mishum Shkutei Chutz. You only chayav in shkut echutz if you otherwise should have brought it to Petach Ol Moed. V'chol she'enu ba'al Petach Ol Moed, ein chayvin alav mishum shkut echutz. Now, kol she'en mizbeach need to come to Petach Ol Moed. That's where they're processed. That's where the korbanot are brought. Kol she'en berek abayit have to be brought to the treasurer of the Mikdash. They don't have to come to Petach Ol Moed. Since they don't have to come to Petach Ol Moed, they're also not then problematic in terms of shkut echutz. Alma. But from that bright that you see clearly, ikrei korban. The kol she'en berek abayit are called korban. It's only because of the pasuk of El Petach Ol Moed Lo Hevi'ol that told us that Kodesh Berech Abayit don't apply by Shkut Echutz. Absent that pasuk, we would have thought the word Korban means Kodesh Berech Abayit just like it means Kodesh Mizbeach. And so too over here, why don't you say the same thing? The word Korban that appears by Tmura should include not only Kodesh Mizbeach, it should also include Kodesh Berech Abayit. Amar Rabbi Chanina Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbonon. Depends who's the author of the position. Le Rabbi Shimon ikrei korban. According to Rabbi Shimon, kodshei berek abayit are called a korban. And that's why in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon brings an alternate reason for why kodshei mizbeach are subject to tmura, not kodshei berek abayit. He learned that out of Maaser Behema. That's because he thinks that korban would have included kodshei berek abayit. The Rabbonon lo ikrei korban. Whereas the Rabbonon believe that it's not called a korban. And that's what's brought in the Braita that we just brought over here. Yochol kodshei berek abayit usim tmura, tamalomar korban. Mishnikru korban, yetzu kodshei berek abayit, shlonikru korban. That's the view of the Chachamim, as well as the view of the Tanakama in our Mishnah, who said that kodshei berek abayit ein usim tmura. So that would be the view of the Chachamim or the Tanakama of our Mishnah and the Chachamim in the Braita, that it's not called a korban. Since a kodshei berek abayit are not called a korban, then korban is sufficient to teach you the din that only kodshei mizbeach are subject to tmura. Then Rabbi Shimon thinks the word korban subsumes within it kodshei berek abayit, and therefore he needs another limud to teach you why it is that kodshei berek abayit are not subject to tmura. And the Gemara says about the sheet of the Chachamim, velo, what do they do with the pasuk? The pasuk's explicit. Ba'aktiv na'krevet korban Hashem. It's pretty straightforward that that position is correct, that the pasuk calls berek abayit korban Hashem. So why shouldn't the word korban subsume within it kodshei berek abayit? My answer is, Korban Hashem ikre, Korban la Hashem lo ikre. Oh, it's a big difference. The pasuk there says, v'nakrev et Korban Hashem. These are things that are dedicated to Hashem. But it does not say Korban la Hashem. Something that is brought specifically and directly to Hashem. And that's what it says by Tmura. Im be'mashi akrivu mimenu Korban la Hashem. That object itself is going to be brought to Hashem. That is only uniquely used with regards to Kodshei Mizbeach. That's not used by Kodshei Berek Abayit. The pasuk that you're quoting says Korban Hashem generically. That it's something dedicated to Hashem, but not that that object itself is going to Hashem. Just means it's dedicated to the name of Hashem. But in the case of Korban La Hashem, it means the object itself is going to be going to, quote unquote, Hashem. And so that's the difference, and that's why the proof text from Parshat Matot is not sufficient to tell us that the word korban subsumes within it kodshei berek habayit. Tan Rabbanan, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra velo yimirenu. The pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra velo yimirenu. That's the pasuk that's written by Maaser Behema. Lama ne'emar. Why is that pasuk brought? Halo kvar ne'emar lo yachlifenu velo yamiro tov tov b'ra. You already have the pasuk in the beginning of Chav Zayin that says, Lo to tov. Why do I need the pasuk by Maaser Behema? The Fisha Nemar, Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro to, mashma, korban yachid, korban tzibur, korban mizbeach, v'korban berek abayit. It's like what Rabbi Shimon says, that had you only had the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra Chav Zayin that says, Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro to, tov bira, rab tov, there you would have thought everything's included. Korban Yachid, Korban Sibur, Korban Shutafim, Korban Mizbeach, Korban Berek Abayit. Everything would be subject to Tmura. Tamal Omar, that's why you have the pasuk by Maaser Behema to teach you that Lo Yivaker, that comes to teach you that all of these items are uniquely associated with Korban Yachid, Korban Mizbeach, and we're going to see in a second, Korban Chuba. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Vare Maaser Bichlal Haya, Velama Yatsa. So, Maaser was included in the klal of Tmura. Why was it then taken out of that klal? Lomar lecha, to teach you, ma Maaser korban yachid v'korban mizbeach, v'davar sheba b'chova, v'davar she'enu b'shutafut. Just like Maaser is only true, that Maaser is brought if you are a single owner of the behema. it's also something that goes on the Mizbeach, as a Korban HaMizbeach, and it is a Davar Shebachova, it's an obligatory Korban. Now that is somewhat controversial because of the Rashi that we saw at the end of Bechorot. Rashi makes a claim there with regards to the three times a year that they have the granot for Maiser Be'emah, that those three granot are the only time of the year where there's a chovat that do Maiser Be'emah. The rest of the year it's a reshut. He says it's optional. Doing Maiser Be'emah is optional. You just don't have to bring them into the corral. You don't have to put 10 in there. And therefore it's all optional. And Rashi says the only time it's a chovat is the three granot. This Gemara over here seems to indicate otherwise. It seems to be that Maiser Be'emah is a Davar Shebechovah. It's an obligatory korban over here. And since it's an obligatory korban, therefore, any things that are chovah will be subject to tmura. Af, so too, kol korban yachid, v'korban mizbeach, davar sheba chovah, v'davar she'enu ba b'shutafut, those are the things that are subject to tmura. Other things are not subject to tmura. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. That's the Rabbi Shimon that we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Lama yatzta maser. Why is maser differentiated? Why is it uniquely differentiated from the other items? Me'ata lidon b'tmurat shmo u tmurat kufo. That's to teach you that maser behema has two forms of tmura. It has tmura in its name, and it's tmura in its guf, in the animal itself. The idea is that maser behema has an additional level of tmura that is not found in other items. Other items, or other kodashim, all have tmurat gufo, which is you try to take the kdusha that is upon this animal, the kodashim, the kdusha that is associated with this animal, you're trying to transfer it onto another animal, you fail at doing that, and you have, tmurato, you have kodesh. That's called tmurat gufo. Tmurat shemo is a phenomenon that we learned in the last parak of Bechorot with regards to Maiser, which is that when you're taking the animals out of the corral, if you mistakenly call the ninth one number 10, or you call number 11, 10, they are also nitkadesh b'kdushat maser. And that's from a special riboy of chol masar that includes everything that is masar, meaning that not just the 10th that you call the 10th, but even the 9th and the 11th. Over there deals with why only the 9th and 11th that are adjacent and not those that are further away. But nevertheless, there's a riboy in the pasuk that tells you that there's something called tumurat shemo. If you mix up the maser, the 10th one, and call something else the 10th, it also becomes kadosh. So Rabbi says that the reason Maiser Behemah was singled out is because of this unique feature of the fact that it is both Tumurat Shemo and Tumurat Gufo. Lomar Lachon, to tell you there's a difference between Tumurat Shemo and Tumurat Gufo. It's Tumurat Shemo Kreva. Tumurat Shemo goes on the Mizbeach. They are considered to be Shlamim. When you make a mistake with what calling the 10th one, the 9th one, the 11th one, the 10th one, they become Shlamim and they go on the Mizbeach. Tumurat Gufo ain't no Kreva. On the other hand, when you do a Tumurat of a maser, not tmura in general. Tmura of regular kodeshim goes on the mizbeach. Tmura of maser and bechor, as we've seen quoted earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to see in a Mishnah upcoming in the Masechta, they are like maser and bechor, but they are only in the sense that they are kadosh, but not in the sense that they go on the mizbeach. So it does not go on the mizbeach. Tmurat shemo, nigelet. Tmurat shemo, the 9th one, or the 11th one, since they are shlamim, if they get a mum in it, you can redeem it. Tmurat gufo, enu nigelet. On the other hand, the tmura of the maiser, the bechor, that become a maiser bechor, they cannot be redeemed. The only thing you can do with them is they wait for them to get a mum, and then you can eat them, b'kdushat bechor, b'kdushat maser, but you cannot redeem them because the pasuk says, v'lo yigael. It specifically says that you can't be goel, you can't be podedem. Tmurat gufo, chala davar roi, v'davar sheinu roi. Tmurat gufo devolves upon both things that are ro'oi for the mizbeach and things that are not ro'oi for the mizbeach. The simple way to explain this is brought by the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says over here, Tmurat gufo chala davar sheinu ro'oi the korban kegon, balmum, like a balmum. Tmurat gufo works on a balmum, dichtiv, lo yamiroto tov bira, hainu balmum. So that's what we learned from Tov Bira. Rabbi Tov tells you that it works even onto a balmum by Tmurat gufo. And the Rabbeinu Gershom goes on to explain, just like it devolves the Kedusha upon Bali Mumim, therefore it also affects Etnan and Muksa and Nevad. All of these things are disqualified from the Mizbeach. They are nevertheless Nitkadesh by Tmura. That's because the Kaimelan, the Hoshein Mum Poselbo, anything that a Mum doesn't affect, ain't Davar Erva, Avodah Zarah Poselbo. So too, Davar Erva and Avodah Zarah do not impact that item. since that is true, then the Kedusha of Tumurat Gufo can devolve upon all of these animals that are normally disqualified from the Mizbeach. That's true by Tumurat Gufo, but by Tumurat Shemo, that is not the case, because Tumurat Shemo en uchal el davar ra'oi bavad. Tumurat Shemo only affects animals that are ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach, meaning that, yes, it can devolve upon a Baal Mum. That's because it says Tov Berah and Rabbi Tov, by the case of Maiser Beima, which is called Sheyavor Takad HaShavet, anything that can walk under the Shevet. On the other hand, things that are disqualified from the Mizbeach completely, like Etnan and all these items, they don't even get into the corral. They're not even counted in that 10 that has to walk out and become Kadosh, and therefore, Dusha will not devolve upon those items, because they're not rolling the Mizbeach. And that's the difference between Tumurat Gufo and Tumurat Shemo. The Rabbeinu Gershom gives that simple explanation. Rashi gives a much more difficult explanation. He says, Kagon Baal Mum. What does it mean that Tumurat Gufo devolves upon something that's not ra'oi? Like a Baal Mum. My Taima. What's the reason it devolves upon a Baal Mum? Kemaser, the Kala Baal Mum. Just like Maaser is Kala Baal Mum. Why did Rashi do that? The Rabbeinu Gershom gives a much simpler explanation, which is, Ra'oi the Baal Mum is because the Murah works on a Baal Mum, because it says, Tobirah Rabbe Tov. Why do you need to speak about Maaser devolving upon another item, Maaser, devolving upon a Baal Mum, as being the source for the fact that Tumurat Gufo applies to things that ain't ra'oi? And so that's a very difficult statement of Rashi. The Griz spends a lot of time on trying to explain this Rashi, first of all, and raising the questions about why wouldn't you just say that it's regular Tumurah? Why are you going to Maaser Behema for the source that it goes on ain't ra'oi? Because Tumurat Gufo applies to all Korbanot, not just to Maaser, and it works on a Baal Mum. And secondly, the comparison to Maaser Behema, that it devolves upon Baal Mum, then should also have application or implications for Tumurat Gufo, also doesn't make sense. Because the Kiddush of Maaser Behema is something that happens passively, whereas the Kiddusha of other animals or Tumurah is something that happens actively. So just because Maaser Behema devolves upon a Baal Mum isn't evidence of the fact that Tumurat Gufo should then also be devolved upon a Baal Mum. So it's a very difficult explanation of Rashi, and that's why we opted to explain it like the Rabbeinu Gershom, but know that the Griz spends a lot of time trying to understand or trying to explain this Rashi. Now, the idea is that you have now something in Maaser Behema that's unique. The fact that it has not only Tumurat Gufo, it also has Tumurat Shemo. And so, and the Gemara is going to ask in 1 second, why should it be? But the assumption being is now that since Maaser Behema has this unique side to it, that it also has Tumurat Shemo, maybe Tumurat Gufo would not apply to it. Well, along comes the Pasuk and says, no, it also has Tumurat Gufo. Rashi here brings two possibilities of what the Havamina is as to what you would have thought if you only had Tumurat Shemo. In the first Lashon, Rashi says, the Gemara asks, Amri, Mishum Darabi Rachmana, Deipe Tumurat Shemo, Igrue Igra. So because it has more, it's worth less now? Just because the Torah came and included Tumurat Shemo, now you're telling me that it has to be worse, meaning that the Tumurah will not be successful at devolving upon a Baal Mum, right? Isn't it a Koshekain that it should work? Because if the Tumurah works by other animals to go on a Baal Mum, then certainly by Maaser Behema it should work to go on a Baal Mum. And just because it also has this aspect of Shemo, why should that then degrade it with regards to the Tumurah devolving upon a Baal Mum? And the answer to that is, Madarabi Darabi. Whatever the Pasuk included, that's what's included. According to the verse view in Rashi, the limud of Rabi is the fact that Tumurat Shemo and Tumurat Gufo both have application by Maaser Behema. And that's the chiddush that's brought by this hekesh between Tumurat Gufo and Maaser Behema, is to teach you, despite the fact that Maaser Behema is connected to Tumurat Gufo, that doesn't mean that all the dinim of Tumurat Gufo are going to have application by Tumurat Shemo. There are actually two paths here. There's Tumurat Shemo and Tumurat Gufo. Each one of them lives in their own world. And therefore, when it says over here that Tumurat Gufo might apply to animals that are ra'oi and any ra'oi, on the other hand, Tumurat Shemo only applies to animals that are ra'oi, which means that Tumurat Gufo, like we know by Tumurat, applies to animals that are Bali Mumim that are not Bali Mumim. And then Tumurat Shemo only applies to animals that are ra'oi to be shlamim. And so the Gemara says about that, wait a minute, why would you ever say that? Just because you have a chumrah of Tumurat Shemo by Maaser Behema, why should that then make it that the Tumurat Shemo is any less than Tumurat Gufo? Why should it also not devolve upon something that is enu ra'oi? Gemara answers to that, it, damrinan, my derabi rabi, my delo rabi, delo rabi. Whatever is included in Tumrat Shemo is all that is included. Meaning that we learn out from Chol Masar Bakar Batzon, that has to be something that is Bakar, that is Ra'ur Liot Shlamim, and therefore, whatever the Pasuk concluded is included. Whatever it didn't include, didn't include. And the Gemara says about that, Mehechitete. How do you know that? Why do you say that? And the Gemara's answer to that is, Am Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua, Mishum Dahava Davar Abba Lidon B'Dvar HaChadash, Ve'im Bo'a L'Chidusho B'Vat. That since it's a Davar HaChadash, it's a Chidush, this whole aspect of Tumrat Shemo, you only have this new limud, or you only have this new din that's associated with it, and nothing more. And therefore, only shlamim, or things that are roi the mizbeach, not anything more than that. On that explanation, Rashi asks two questions. The first of which is, the source text that they're bringing for the fact that Tumrat Shemo only applies to an animal that is roi, is b'chol masar bakar betzon. But that limud, if you look at it, all it comes to teach you is that there is a concept of Tumrat Shemo. Over there, it never defines or limits what the Tumrat Shemo can be. It says Bakar Batzon, that could be a Tom, that could be a Balmom. There's no limitation that is placed on there. And so then how could you say, Ma the Rabbi Rabbi, whatever they included, means they only included Shlamim, they didn't include Balmom. It's not true. And the word Bakar only comes to teach you that don't treat it like Tumrat Gufo, that doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Treat it like Tumrat Shemo, that does go on the Mizbeach. But there, nowhere there does it tell you that it has to be Ra'oi the Mizbeach. So that's number one question he has on it. And then he has a second problem, which is the Gemara's question of Mehechitete. Mehechitete is not the right question to ask in this case, because Mehechitete means, where do you have the source for this? What do you mean, where do you have the source for this? We already brought the source for this, because Chol Masar Bakar Batzon, where you're claiming the word Bakar is teaching that it has to be Ra'oi the Mizbeach. So the question shouldn't be Mehechitete, but rather, give me a proof that that is the right drush, or the right way to be darshaning the Pasuk. It's not about where you got it from. We already gave you where we got it from. And therefore, it's the wrong question. Therefore, Rashi favors the second explanation that he brings, which is the following. That the Havamina is that since you have Tumrat Shemo over here by Maiser Be'ema, Tumrat Shemo is something, a new world for Maiser Be'ema. Since it's a new world for Maiser Be'ema, maybe Tumrat Gufo shouldn't apply to Maiser Be'ema. To which the Gemara asks, well, just because Maiser Be'ema has an additional Chumrah of Tumrat Shemo, Migra Goro, therefore you shouldn't have Tumrat Gufo. It should be additive. Tumrat Shemo on top of Tumrat Gufo. Why would you ever suggest that Tumrat Shemo then somehow excludes Tumrat Gufo? The Gemara asks, Amrei, Mishum Derabi Rachmana, De'ipe Tumrat Shemo, Igrue Igra. So because it has more, it's worth less now? Meaning now that it has another set, another aspect of Tumrah associated with it, which is Tumrat Shemo, so now you're going to tell me that it doesn't have Tumrat Gufo, all of a sudden you can make a Kula out of a Chumrah? It has this extra aspect, this extra Chumrah with it. Why should then be Mekil with regards to Tumrat Gufo? Mar says, it, Damrinan, my Darabi Rabi, my Delo Rabi, Delo Rabi. Because what the Pasuk includes is included. What it doesn't include, it's not included. It included Tumrat Shemo. It did not include Tumrat Gufo. And the Gemara asks about that, Mehechitete. Where do you have evidence that that concept exists? That when you have a chidush in an item that was part of a klal, that that chidush somehow becomes the only thing that's associated with this item, and then we don't learn all the other dinim that are associated with that klal. Where do you know such a principle? To which the Gemara answers, Am Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua, Mishum Dahava Davar Abba Lidon B'Dvar HaChadash, Ve'im Bo'a L'Chidusho B'Vat. Yes, we have such a principle that when you have a Davar Chadash, Ein Bo Ela Chidusho Bilvad. When you have a new item, when you have a new Chidush, you only have in that item Chidusho Bilvad, that Chidush that is associated with that alone. But basically you have a fundamental machloket here between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon as to what happens, or maybe what principle we invoke when you have something that is Yotzei Min HaKlal. Rabbi Shimon's very clear that when Yotzei Min HaKlal, Kol Davar Sheyatzei Min HaKlal, that's the principle that Rabbi Shimon is working under, and that is what governs his view as to what happens here when you have the Maiser Be'ema repeating Tmura, is that that Maiser Be'ema now becomes a paradigmatic type of Tmura by which we learn from it what are the character traits of Tmura. Rabbi, on the other hand, is invoking a principle which we're not necessarily so familiar with, but it might be one of the midot, shloshes and midot, that a Torah Nidreshet band that we see in Rabbi Shmuel, and that is, Rabbi Shmuel has a principle that כל דבר שהיה בכלל יצאנו דורם בדבר החדש, אין אתה יכול להצירו לכללו עד שחזרנו כתוב לכללו בפירוש, that once something leaves the klal, then you can't bring it back to the klal until the psukim tell you that it should go back to the klal. Or in essence, what that principle seems to indicate is, when something is uniquely associated with a particular item that's differentiated from what the normal din of the klal is, over there, that now takes it out of the main picture, takes it out of the klal. Once it's now removed from the klal, you can't return it to the klal, ad she'yechzerenu ha'ketuv b'firush, until the pasuk itself brings it back literally into the klal. And that's what's happening over here. You have a situation in which the Maaser Behema is taken out of the klal because of the riboy of Chol Maasar, and because of that riboy of Chol Maasar, it tells you that Tmurat Shemo has application by Maaser Behema. So now I would have thought, now it's not part of the regular world of Kodashim. It's been removed from the world of Kodashim. The regular world of Kodashim has Tmurah, but you just took Maaser Behema out of that world. So maybe Tmurah shouldn't apply. The principle tells you that when something has left the klal, then it can be replaced or it can go back into the klal if the pasuk returns it to the klal. Shechzeno katuv leklalo b'feirush. And that's what happens here. The pasuk b'feirush takes it back into the world of Tmurah. So it could be that Rabbi's relying on that principle. The Gemara is going to give it a different name. It's a question. It's not clear whether that is synonymous with that klal that we find in Rabbi Shmuel, or it's a different klal, which is beyond the 13 klalot that we have. There are lists of klalim at the beginning of Torah Kohanim that are somewhat more expansive than that of Rabbi Shmuel, not just 13. There are larger numbers over there of klalim. Maybe this is a different klal. And even though it's not so clear, the fact that the Masorah Shas over here references you to Shmuel Kaf Amud Bet, which has that principle from Rabbi Shmuel, seems to be that he thinks that the two are associated, or maybe the same klal at least. So that might be some evidence of the fact that we're dealing with that klal that's found in Rabbi Shmuel. That is the machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Now it's never clear how you know which principle to use over here. The Gemara never clarifies as to whether you should use Kol Davar Sheyatza Min HaKlal Lo Lamed Atzmo Yatza Ela Lamed Al Klal Kulo Yatza. When do you invoke that principle? And when do you invoke the principle of Kol Davar Sheyatza B'Klal of Yatza Didon B'Dvar HaKadash Enta Yechol Ekzir L'Khalo Ad Sheyachzirenu HaKetuv L'Khalo B'Feirush? When do you invoke that principle? The Gemara never really addresses how do you know when you should use one or the other. But it's clear here that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi are seemingly arguing along those lines. Now, Tosfot in a number of places in Yevamot and also in Zvachim explains that when you something is considered to be a chidush, that's yotze min haklal, and is gone legamre, and that is not considered to be yatza min haklal, lelamed al haklal kulo yatza, the difference between those two limudim is dependent on whether the chidush is soter, that which is known by the klal. So if the new item is soter, the original klal, then in that case, it becomes a chidush that takes it out of the klal. It no longer learns from the klal, and it no longer teaches to the klal itself. Whereas if it's not necessarily in contradiction, but simply a hosafa, an addition to the klal, then in that case, it's yatza min haklal, lamed al haklal, kulo yatza. That's how Tosafot explains it. The Tzom Kodoshim, on the other hand, comes up with a different explanation, which would be more useful in our case over here, which is that if the item or the chidush that is associated over here it's something that either appears in the klal or appears somewhere else. It's a halacha that we know from somewhere else. Then that's not considered to be a chidush that takes it out of the klal. Then it's not chidusho bilvad. Then if you have a new din that does not appear in the klal and does not appear anywhere else, then that becomes a chidusho that is chidusho bilvad. And then that would be maybe the explanation over here as to why we consider Maaser Behema as something that is a dvar chadash that's yotze min haklal and enush elo chidusho bilvad is because of the fact that it's something new totally. Tmurat Shemo is not something we find not in the klal and not something that we find anywhere else in any other halakhot. And so since it's so unique and associated with Maaser Behema, that now takes Maaser Behema off into its own world, and that's why it's enlo chidusho bilvad. That would be a helpful explanation as to why over here Rabbi would invoke that principle rather than the principle that Rabbi Shimon is invoking. Now, I'm stopping here for a second to go back to Rashi, which is Rashi brings on the previous Amud that there's a Lishna Achrina in the Gemara. The Gemara answered the question as to what we do with the Braita versus our Mishnah by saying Ha Rabbanon, Ha Rabbi Shimon. That it's the Rabbanon versus Rabbi Shimon. Rashi brings a Lishna Achrina. There's another Lashon, which is Garsinan. Ha Rabbi, Ha Rabbi Shimon. the differentiation is between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Because we see over here that Rabbi Shimon thinks that Maaser Behema dictates all the rules of what happens with regards to the Tmura, whereas Rabbi doesn't think that. Rabbi thinks that it's uniquely associated with Maaser Behema. That means that Rabbi does not have this limud from Maaser Behema. Then how does Rabbi know all of these dinim over here? How does he know the din that a yachid and not a tzibur, a yachid and not a shutaf? How does he know korban mizbeach and not korban berek abayit? Must be, as Rashi notes, that Rabbi subscribes to the position of the chachamim or the position of the Tanakama. And Rashi says that here on the Amud Bet, that Rabbi, the Mishum, kol hachi lo itzri korban yachid, milo yamir nafko. How does he know that a yachid and not a shibur and not shutafim bring it? Because lo yamir lo yachlifenu, that is lashon yachid. The korban teaches you that it's korban mizbeach and not korban bedek abayit. And we'll see that later on, that Rabbi will also then, according to Rashi, have to hold that motarot go to nidvat tzibur, and therefore it's excluded from the din of tzibur by tmura. But the Bali Tosafot suggests that maybe he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that when it comes to motarot, there are nidvot ha-yachid, but then there is a din of tmura there, and therefore he doesn't need anything to exclude it. Therefore you see that Rabbi is of a belief that kodshe berek abayit lo ikre korban, that kodshe berek abayit are not kodei korban, because he learns it from the word korban. And then that would make him the Baal Plugta to Rabbi Shimon. And so what Rashi is saying, there was another Lashon that said the answer as to what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita is one is Rabbi and one is Rabbi Shimon. The Braita that says you learn out from the word korban, only kodshe mizbeach are subject to tmura, not kodshe berek abayit. That's the view of Rabbi, who says that korban means kodshe mizbeach and not kodshe berek abayit. Our Mishnah that says that the source for the kodshe berek abayit being excluded is Maaser Behema. That's Rabbi Shimon. The only problem is, in our Mishnah, we also have a Tanakama who says that kodshe berek abayit are excluded. Now, the Tanakama never gave any reason. But if it was the Chachamim, then it's understandable. You can say that that's the position of the Rabbanan, that's the position of Rabbi Shimon. But if it's Rabbi's position, then the Mishnah should have indicated that it was Rabbi. The fact that it doesn't shows you that it must not be Rabbi. And that's where Rashi points out that maybe that part of the Mishnah is Kulo Rabbi Shimon. When the Mishnah says that Kodshei Berek Abayit are not subject to Tmura, that's an introduction to the next piece of what Rabbi Shimon is going to say, and Kulo Rabbi Shimoni. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and therefore the answer to the stira between the bright that we brought at the beginning of the Gemara and the Mishnah is HaRabbi, HaRabbi Shimon. So that's the alternate girsa that Rashi brings that would then solve the stira. And that's because of what we learn here. This machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, as Rashi points out, indicates that Rabbi must learn all these dinim from somewhere else, because he doesn't use Maaser Behema the same way that Rabbi Shimon uses Maaser Behema. Amar lei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak the Rava, the Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, damar davar haba b'chova, olat chova, hi da'avda tmura, haolot deva lo. Now you're going to tell me that it has to be an obligatory offering, which means that only obligatory offerings are subject to tmura. Voluntary offerings, meaning if you bring a korban b'neder or b'nedava, it's not subject to tmura. Is that really true? Amalei olat nedava nami. Kevin de kabla alei abda tmura. When it comes to an olat nedava, since you have accepted that responsibility upon yourself, it now becomes or can create tmura because of the fact that it now becomes an obligatory offering. As Rashi points out over here, it's not just an obligation when you take a neder. We have a personal obligation to bring the korban. Even when you make it into nidava, there's still an obligation upon you to make sure that the animal that is kodesh ends on the mizbeach. May not be that you have a personal obligation to replace it or to be responsible for it if something happens to it. But on the other hand, you still have an ownership responsibility to do what you're supposed to do with this animal, which is put it on the mizbeach or get it to the mizbeach. And since that's an obligation that devolves upon you, even a voluntary offering has an aspect of korban chova to it, and that's why it's subject to tmura. V'lo nitzricha, we only need it for la'olat haba min ha-motarot. For an olat that comes from excesses that you have. We've seen just recently by an asham that is nitak l'riyah. If you're an asham that isn't used because it's one of the chamesh chata'ot ha-meitot by asham, if you have one of those conditions like nitkaper ba'alav or mitata ba'alim, in those cases by a chatat it's meita. By an asham, it's nitak d'riya, and then it's brought as a korban ola, an ola min ha-motarot, becomes part of the nidvat ha-tzibur, we'll say, or nidvat ha-yachid, it's brought as an ola. So we have this, like for instance, a person separates out money for a chatat, and he has excess money. That goes to the olot, nidvat olah. Or if a person did that by nasham, same thing, goes to nidvat olah. We have many times where excesses or exchanges, whatever's left over, goes to this nidvat olah. So that's the case where we need to teach you that it's not included. My kasavar. What exactly is the status of this nidvat olah? There is a machloket in Shkalim, as well as further on in the Gemara in Temurah, we have a machloket Tanaim as to what happens to all of these motarot that go to the olot. Do they become nidvat tzibur, or do they become nidvat yachid? And then there are nafkaminot between them as to the din of smicha, the din of nisachim, who is responsible for them, whether they are done or not. Ika savalak mandamar motarot nidvat tzibur azle, nidvat olah that come about. Do they go into the tzibur's coffers? And the olah is actually an olah tzibur then pshita dolo avdut mura. Then I don't need a specific limud to tell me that. Ha ain't mura b'tzibur. You've already excluded it from tmura because it's part of the korbanot tzibur. You don't need a new something to teach you that. It's already excluded because it's a korban tzibur. El Rabbi Shimon Svirle, Kamanda Amar, Motarot, Nidvat Yachid Azle. He holds like the one that says these excesses go to bring korbanot olah of the individual. I mean, the person who was bringing this korban and had these excesses, or the korban was not necessary anymore, now gets converted to olah, it's his olah. It's a personal olah. It's not an olah of the tzibur. So given that, now I need a specific exclusion to tell me that that does not create tmura. Man shmaitle hai svara. Who's the one that has that view? Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eliezer who's the one who believes that the motarot go to nidvat yachid. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Hashmein alei behedja da'avda tmura. Wait a minute. Rabbi Eliezer himself says about this item that it makes tmura. Titania. Ola ba min ha-motarot oset tmura. The ola that comes from these excesses creates tmura. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. If he's subscribing to Rabbi Eliezer that the motarot go to a nidvat yachid, he should also have to subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that it also creates tmura. If that's the case, then how could you be excluding it from Tmura, from the connection to Maaser Behemah? The answer is, Rabbi Shimon Savala Kevate Bechado, Upaligale Bechado. Rabbi Shimon holds like him in one issue, doesn't hold like him in another issue. The Rabbi Lezer Sabar, because Rabbi Lezer is of the belief, Ola ben Amonu ba min ha-motarot oset Tmura. Because Rabbi Lezer has the following opinion, that first of all, these motarot, these excesses that are brought as a Korban Olah, they're considered to be a Korban Yachid. In addition to that, these olot, abam and motorot, create tmura. So he has both of those positions. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon only subscribes to the aspect of Rabbi Eliezer that the motorot go to the olat ha-yachid, sabra enoset tmura, but he disagrees with him with regards to the other part of that position, which is that they create tmura. And for that reason, he believes that you need the maaser behemah in order to teach you that a korban chova, the chova over here doesn't really mean a chova, it's a chova that is obligatory because it's a korban that you need to bring versus this olah, which is really coming from excesses, which is not a korban you have to bring. It's something that is the leftovers or the residual of other things or an asham that was not needed. That's what ends up bringing this olah, but it's not an obligatory offering. It's an offering of excess. That korban is therefore excluded from the hekesh between Maaser Behemah and Tmura. And that's why it's not brought as Tmura. Even though he is subscribing to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that it's considered to be a korban yachid, he does not subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that it is ra'oi for tmura, which is basically similar to what we've been doing all along with regards to our Mishnah over here, which is the Mishnah was comprised of many different opinions, including ein beta pras who said beta pras, ein truma achar truma, ein tmura achar tmura. And we said in all of these cases that either it's authored by this Tana, or it's not authored by this Tana. But there's not necessarily a consistent Tana that goes throughout the Mishnah. We saw in three cases that it wasn't Rabbi Eliezer, so it's pretty clear that Rabbi Eliezer is not the author. But then in one case we saw it's like Rabbi Akiva, one case we saw it's like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So what it is the Tana of the Mishnah is taking different Tanaic opinions, and then he's aggregated them into a position that he's taking. And same thing over here. Rabbi Shimon's taking his position, which is that he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer in one point, disagrees with him with regards to the other point. It says, Ihochi the by Rabbi Avin. What about that question that was posed by Rabbi Avin back on Daf Tet, where he asked the questions about these different types of situations with regards to an asham? He frees asham litkaperbo. He separated out an asham in order to gain kapara. Vehemirbo. And then he did tmura with regards to that Hashem. Vinit kaper b'Hashem acher. And then he got kapara through a different Hashem because he lost the first Hashem. And then he found it. So then when he finds it after he got kapara with the other Hashem, nikta zel olah. Then the one that was the original Hashem that he lost now goes out to be an olah. And he asked over there, ma'u shiachzor v'yamirbo. Can you create another tmura with that olah? We say that you can create tmura once with an animal, not twice. That's Rabbi Yochanan's view with regards to Rabbi Shimon's position over there, that kashem shemirin bet be'achad, just like you can't transfer tmura from 2 to 1 or 1 to 2, emirim chozim emirim. A single animal can't create tmura twice. So over here, Rabbi Yochanan was asking, is this still considered to be the same animal? It's the same goof, but it's changed kedushot. It's goof echad and shtei kedushot. It's the same animal, but it went from being an Hashem to an Olah. Is that enough of a change that it's a new Korban now that can now create Tumura again? But now Gemara says, wait a minute. Aliva Daman, who was this question posed according to? Ilem Aliva de Rabbi Shimon. Wasn't the question posed according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita in Rabbi Shimon? But if it's according to Rabbi Shimon, Amar, Rabbi Shimon Svirle, Olah, Ba, Mina, Motorot, Eno Se Tumura. We just established now that Rabbi Shimon, based on the bright that we brought before, believes that the Korban Chova comes to exclude Motarot, to say that Motarot can't create Tmura. And that means that the answer to the question is obvious. You don't need any answer to that question that Rabbi Avi is posing, because the question never gets off the ground. The case where it switches from being an Hashem to an Olah, yes, there might be a change in the status of the animal, but it doesn't matter. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, a Olah that comes from the Motarot doesn't create Tmura, period. So Rabbi Avin, habi kami bailei. Now Rabbi Avin has the following question. If we have a Tana that holds like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Yochanan suggests that you can't create Tmura twice from the same animal, and he holds like Rabbi Eliezer and not like Rabbi Shimon, like we just saw before, that Rabbi Eliezer believes that it's considered to be a Korban Yachid, and it has the capacity to create Tmura. If you have a Tana that combines those two positions, Mao Shiachzor V'yamirbo, can you go back and do Tmura with this animal? That's a case of Shtei Kedushot Beguf Echad. The Girsa is a little messy over here, but it basically follows what we said back on Daf Ted Amud Bet, which is that there's a nested question of Rabbi Avin, which is, in the case of Shtei Kedushot Kedusha Echad, where you have two animals that are a Kedusha Echad, which is the case where you had an Hashem that got a mum in it, and then you replaced it with another animal to be an Hashem. There it's two different animals, but they're both Hashemot. Over there, is that considered to be a new entity, and therefore it can create Tmura again? Or do we say that anything that is Shnei Guvim Ukdusha Chat, that's also considered to be one entity, because it derives from the same Kedusha? That's how the great question begins. But Shnei Guvim Ukdusha Chat Mai. Vim Tim Salamar Kedusha Chat. If you come to the conclusion over there that that's considered to be Kedusha Chat, despite the fact that it's Shnei Guvim, then the case of Shteik Dushot Gevachad, my. What's the situation when you have Shteik Dushot, where it's the same Hashem, you lost it, and then you do it another Hashem to do your Kapara, and then that first Hashem now turns into an Olah. So it's the same goof, but it's Shteik Dushot, my. What's the question over there? The Gemara ends with Tibaye. As Rashi points out, Tibaye is the way that the Yushami says Teiku. So that's the way we said earlier in the Gemara, that it was a Teiku. The Lashona Yushami, which Rashi claimed the Lishna Achrina on that daf, was always the Yushami. So they end up with Tibaye, which is the equivalent of saying Teiko, it's an unresolved issue. We don't know whether it's considered to be a new entity and can create Tmura, or is it not considered to be a new entity and cannot create Tmura. But that's all premised on this possibility of there being a Tano who subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's view that Ein Memirim Chozrim Memirim, and also subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer's view that Motarot of an Olah are both considered to be a Korban Yachid, and they can create Tmura. If you find such a Tana, then this following nested question is the case, and we leave that question as unresolved, and that's the explanation of Rabbi Avin's question. Okay, we're going to stop here with the completion of the Perek. Hadron Allah, Chakol, Memirin.